Fretfin Radio. This is Nicola Comanti here at the 32nd edition of Turin Film Festival. And today I'm joined by Émilie Verhamme, director of Ozu.
Hi.
So, usually the first question is kind of the easiest one, and is the one they actually asked about the film. Maybe this time won't be that easy, but you know, try to explain to us, outline the film for the audience.
Yeah, that's a very difficult question for me too, because I realize it's a complex story. The film is about two adolescents living on an island in a community where the parents believe that there are things going to happen. So they protect their children from the outside world. And as the story continues, we see that the parents take different measures to protect their children even more, but the children actually suffer underneath it, you know. So the road from being a child to adult is really hard, because they have no say in anything. Mm-hmm. Everything is decided by the parents, and so their self-development is very constricted.
In a way, also, I would probably also suggest the audience to kind of also forget what we just said, because I was pleasantly driven by you and your filmic style. For at least, I think, 20 minutes in of the film, I was pleasantly lost in the images I was seeing, but constantly very curious to understand what was going on. So, in a way, you really kind of discarded the classic narrative way of, as we, you know, had to unravel now in a very kind of short little pitch. How did you actually structure the film? So when you put something on paper and then you knew that you were going to shoot it, how was your structure and how you developed the film itself? Both the script, but also the fact that, you know, it was handheld and pretty much you had control, you know, utter control into the film. The editing as well. So you kind of, it was the big Deus ex machina, as the Latins say, about everything. So I'm just curious to see actually your development and your the way that you made this film happen.
In the script, the story was a lot bigger, a lot longer, many storylines that I left out in the end. For me, it was quite classically narrative. Mm-hmm. Before shooting, then we didn't have any shot list, so I just wrote the story, and then I came on set and I just said to my cameraman, this is how we're gonna do it, we're gonna work very really close together. But so no shot list, so the sound guys didn't really know where to go, they were a bit mad. But it was really interesting because we were very mobile. We knew what was going to happen in that scene, and we tried it from different angles. We tried it with different acting methods, so that was really interesting. And then in the editing process, it was a difficult editing process because I'm not an editor, you know. So I was too close on the movie too, you know, and I edited for a long time and different versions of the editing, you know, and a lot of scenes were dropped and so I don't know if that's an answer to your question.
Kind of, yeah. And regarding the time, how long did you take actually to film the, to have the shoot and then the editing?
Shooting was 20 days. But it was really, really slow budget, so we had to do 20 days. Otherwise, I would have done it longer, of course. And the editing was about, that was longer. It was about six, seven months, I guess.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you had someone also to help you in the editing suite, or it was just a sort of a journey to madness?
It was
just
in my room. No, I didn't. Yeah, I had a version that was ready, I had some editors, more professional editors, coming by and tell me what they thought about it. And then they said some little stuff, and then I went back to my room and did my homework, and then I had another version, and it went like that, yeah.
Probably you already saw in the big screen and with audience as well. Are you aware actually that the film it goes beyond, the actual narrative kind of sense of it?
Yeah.
And it's constant symbols everywhere. You constantly try to kind of decode them. And sometimes, of course, you fail. But it's just this constant kind of like dialogue between you and the audience. Mm-hmm. What were your main references as well to start this dialogue? So you started from, I don't know, books, different films, or you had constantly this idea of this sort of endless war between, you know, childhood and then adulthood?
No, because I don't see the adults or the parents as bad people, you know, between brackets, because they only do what's good for the child. Mm-hmm. I started with the real life events. I saw a documentary of the invisible children, Nightwalkers, in Uganda. So I started with that. I read a lot about Friedrich Nietzsche, Salinger, you know, Catcher in the Rye was a really big inspiration for me. What else? And then photographers, Tobias Siloni, I don't know if you know him. And of course, I mean, we always find new symbolism, even me, you know, so that are not put in there maybe on purpose, but that they come out. That's the magic of a film, you know.
And I know that you used a complete non-actor cast.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think also this sort of... this sort of kind of relationship that you, you know, do establish with your actors, I mean, kind of evolving actors, is something that also brings these symbols out as well without knowing what's going on. And I wanted to actually know the work you did with the astonishing performances as well. You know, that they're really, really incredibly vivid and strong. Mm-hmm. So what, how long was the rehearsal before actually starting to shoot the 20 days? Or maybe it was just, let's go for it. And what we see is improvisation.
I never do rehearsals. I don't believe in that. And Martin, the guy, he was playing in my short movies as well, so we're very good friends.
Oh, good.
And he trusts me, so everything I ask him to do, he does it. And then the other actors, yeah, I always get a really personal relationship with my actors, so that on set, they feel actually like going on camp or something. That's good sometimes, but sometimes not so good, because everybody is like, chill, you know, oh yeah, we have to shoot that scene today. So, but it helps, you know, it helps during the scene. There's a lot of improvisation that we try. Mm-hmm. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's a teamwork, you know, so we work together.
I'm super interested in what you just said, you know, that they're actually becoming very close with the actors. So it becomes, you know, real life also within the production time. Do you see yourself also approaching filmmaking for a different project in a completely different way? Or you think your way of filmmaking is going to be always this? So kind of creating a close relationship with the cast and always making something real out of also fiction. Big question to end.
Yeah, I worked always. It comes naturally because I always worked with young people until now, and I'm not that old, so we become friends. And of course, I mean, they embody like the characters you've written on paper. So it's very interesting to see them interpret the role also. You know, so. I don't know if I'm going to work different. We'll see. I don't think so.
We'll see.
Yeah.
And interesting for once is actually a very good way to describe the film, you know, in not a banal way, you know, a banal sense of the actual word.
Sometimes interesting is not the good word.
Oh, but it's good. I like that. You know, I like the ambivalence of it. So thank you very much, Emily, for being with us. Okay. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Bye.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.